Hello and welcome to the AV Forums TV Display and Calibration Podcast for the 14th of October. And joining me this week on the podcast is Danny Tack from Philips. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Phil.
Nice to see you, Danny. In this episode, we're going to touch on the new Philips Premium OLED TVs. I was lucky enough to be invited along to Abbey Road a short time ago. We went through the TVs there. We're going to go through the TVs again here today for our viewers. If you want to watch this version of the podcast, you can do that on our YouTube channel. It's AV Forums channel, the main AV Forums channel. This podcast will be available on there if you want to watch it. Or, of course, you can listen to the audio-only version on your podcast subscription service. I'm Phil Hinton. I'm the editor of the site. We've been around for a while, AV Forums. We've been around 20 years. If you enjoy what we do on the podcast, then please do share our details with people on social media and so on, share our videos and so on. That would be appreciated. So we're going to get straight into the subjects today, Danny. Always nice to see you on the podcast. Always nice to sit through one of your demos, one of the best demonstrations of TVs, I think, in the business. You really do take your time and go through everything, and you've always got new stuff to talk about, which is great for a TV reviewer, because sometimes TVs can all be blur into one, they'll become the same type of thing. So it's always nice to see new tech, new products, and that kind of thing. And also, it's always nice to go to a really special venue. And again, you held your launch this year at Abbey Road Studios, and it's a fantastic venue, and it's something that you are a venue that you have used quite a few times in the past.
Yeah, because we have a partnership with Abbey Road, mainly coming from the angle from our Bar and Wilkins, our other partnership. We have done a couple of events in Abbey Road, and it's a great venue with a lot of charisma behind there with the Beatles, which I love. It's a good venue for doing audio demos, but also for doing picture demos.
Yeah, absolutely. And some AV Forums members will remember back to a couple of years ago, we actually did a TV shootout event in Studio 2 at Abbey Road. Fantastic venue. I've been a number of times now, but you always see or hear or learn something new. Every time you go, it's steeped in history. Like you say, the Beatles and Pink Floyd, you know, Dark Side of the Moon and all that kind of thing recorded there. And we were lucky enough to get a full-on tour this time around, Studio 1, Studio 3, and of course the event was in Studio 2, famous for the Beatles and so on. And a great place to have a TV demo, because you can get complete blackout if you want that and so on, which is excellent for your demonstration. So two premium models. There is the OLED 809, but we're going to concentrate on the premium OLED Plus models for this interview, Danny. We do touch on the 809 if you think it's relevant to our audience here. So let's start with the new model OLED Plus 909. It's available in more of the screen sizes. So maybe give us a rundown of that model and some of the features that are available.
Well, 909, what is so special in 909 is the new meta panel version 2, which is in there, which is reaching up to 3000 nit peak. So it's a much better, more light output from the panel compared to the OLED 8 sitting down there below. Engine wise, it's the P5 AI engine, improving on lots of things, which we'll come back on in a second. And there is the there's also a Bauer & Wilkins sound system in there. It's the 3.1 frontal sound system with 81 watts of power. There's of course lots of other stuff like a new game bar, a new ambient intelligent feature, but I will come back in a second on that detail.
And of course, Ambilight, and people will be pleased to note that it's four-sided on the 909.
Yes, although then the 959 has a better Ambilight system in there, what we call now Ambilight Plus.
Yeah, so let's move on to OLED 959. This is your flagship model, only available in one screen size, which is 65 inch. So maybe give us a brief rundown of that TV, and then we can deep dive into some of the features that are shared across both of the screens and then the differences between them.
959 is having also the meta panel, which is gives you the highest light output you can have in the market, 3000 at peak. But now it comes with a dual engine, a B5 AI dual engine, with a couple of extra features like better AI, like a better smart bit enhancement, like better sharpness, machine learned sharpness, or really AI sharpness, and also a better perfect natural reality conversion from SDR to HDR at the next level. The feature is not new, but each year we tend to improve. The more processing power we get, the better we make it. And basically, the new dual engine gives us 2 times more processing power. It comes, as I already mentioned, with the Ambilight Plus, which is a more two-dimensional Ambilight with using mini lenses. And it also comes with a better sound system from Bauer & Wilkins, a 5.1.2, and with 102 watts, with 18 individually developed drivers.
Now, we're talking about nits, and you said the new Meta panel up to 3,000 nits peak brightness. Is that in the Vivid crystal clear mode, or is that in Filmmaker?
Yes, that's of course, that is in the Vivid, definitely, because in the Filmmaker mode, we then have the white point adjusted to 6,500. And due to that, we lose a little bit of light. Normally, in the Vivid, we're very close to the native color temperature of the panel. That's why we reach higher numbers. But also in Filmmaker mode, it should be around 2,600 to 2,700 nits, but less because of a different white point.
And of course, you know, we're talking about peak brightness here, but also full screen brightness of the panel is just as important. So what are we looking at in terms of 909 and 959 when it comes to that Meta panel and the full screen brightness?
Yeah, maybe still peak brightness, we're talking about 3% load, and full load to 100% reaching for, with the Meta panel version 2.0, 250 nits, which is also top-notch in the market.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's quite a significant bump up for 100% full screen white. That's almost unheard of for an OLED panel. So what are you doing to achieve that from the Meta 2 panel?
Well, the Meta 2 panel has now again an improved micro lens array, so optimized again, more efficient in getting the light out of there. That's one of the main points for the full white. In combination then with a peak light booster, which is an algorithm inside the panel, works together, of course, with our B5 engine, but it's dedicated to the panel. The light booster gives you that 3000 nit peak.
Yeah, excellent. So lots of new features on these TVs. The new Meta panel is extremely exciting in terms of peak brightness and also full screen brightness. So what other new features can people expect from both of the new premium models from Philips this year in terms of AI and so on? Because they do use slightly different chipsets, the 909 single, the 959 has a new dual engine. So maybe look at the single chip first of all, 8th generation P5. What can people expect to see on the 909?
Well, the 909 has a new ambient intelligence version 3 now. Version 2 already had light sensor, had dark detail optimization and color temperature optimization, three things. And now on top of that, we're now having also the HDR optimization, means that your HDR performance is linked to the light sensor and will give you more or less reflections, boosting of sunlight, and so on. It actually also does that in real time. It measures frame by frame the content. So we're not relying on the source, what the max CLL of the content is, because max CLL is basically then maybe for one or two scenes in there, and then you do your processing accordingly, but making sure you're not gonna get blinking losing detail. We can do it now scene by scene, and we can optimize and make use of the light that is inside the panel to have always the optimum controls.
So just to explain that to some of our listeners out there, so what that means is that the light sensor that's built into the TV, it measures the ambient light in the room that that person is watching the TV. It adjusts the light on screen. It adjusts the color temperature so it matches the surroundings. And now with HDR enhancement, it's going in there and it's assessing frame by frame what the image should be, then matching up with a light sensor. So if the shadows need to be lifted so people can see the detail in the shadows, maybe they're in a brighter room and they need to have that raised, it's doing all that frame by frame and automatically for the end user.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that's one of the biggest complaints, I think, out there is HDR. It looks too dark on my TV because they've got it set to filmmaker mode and they're watching with all the lights on, and it's not exactly how it should be viewed. Filmmaker mode should be in dim surroundings. So with this new AI, the new sensor, the new light sensor, that should help people. So on top of that, what else are we looking at on the 909?
The 909 also has a new game bar, which basically the game bar is completely redesigned. We asked gamers to play with our previous game bar, listen to them. They told us what they were missing, what needed to be improved. And now this all has been incorporated in the new design. It gives us quite some enhancements. Well, I call it enhancements when I show it to people. Some people say it's cheating. Well, it's cheating for the better. Using those enhancements, you're able to play the game better and probably do things, see things earlier than others, see things more clear. Like, for instance, we have what are those enhancements? One of them is a crosshair that can be put on the screen to in shooter games to aim better. That crosshair can have any kind of shape, any kind of color to make sure that it's always very visible in your game. Besides that, but that's an exclusive feature for 959, you can zoom the target you're watching to, for instance, shoot. You can zoom it out from small to very big, blend it with the rest of your content. Again, to make sure that you see things better, faster than others. Zoom is exclusive for 959. Crosshair is already in 909. What is also in 909 is the shadow enhancer. When you're playing darker games, and the enemy or whatever the target is in the dark background there, you can increase the shadows to make sure you can see it better. And there's also another feature, which is what we call the color enhancement. If you're playing very colorful games and there's so many colors that you lose sight, you can exclude certain colors, you can accentuate certain colors again to adjust that to your needs. All of that can be set in a profile. You can store it in a profile. We have 10 profiles, so you can play 10 different games and do those game enhancements differently per game, and have that all the time available for you. Of course, if you don't want to have that game bar, getting the game bar is when you're in game mode, accessing it by the OK button, game bar comes up. If you don't like the game bar, pushing OK again removes the game bar.
So you've clearly been listening to gamers out there. It is a big area of the TV market now, is gaming and so on. And of course, Ambilight just adds to that experience as well. And not all Philips TVs have Ambilight. Obviously, 959 has a slight tweak. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But when we're talking about gaming, one of the downsides always has been just two HDMI 2.1 48 gigabit per second ports. So this year for the 909, is it still just two inputs?
It's still two inputs, but and that sounds, well, less of course than four, which I know out there are brands that are doing four already now. With two, I would say, yeah, I expect that you not having much more than two game consoles at home. So with two, it should be still pretty sufficient, even in the future, even a bit. Of course, the next step will be four. But I think for the time being, with two, there is enough there.
And is that the same for 959? Is it still two on there?
Both are the same. Maybe to allude or you're hinting to something. There are, as I mentioned, there are brands doing already four, but then it comes together with a less powerful chip on doing picture improvement. So we chose to stay on the chip that can give us the best P5 performance, accepting two HDMI 2.1s. Rather than four with less PQ. That's been our choice.
And if an end user is using a soundbar, do they have to use one of those HDMI 2.1 ports for EARC?
For EARC, yes, he does.
Yeah.
So he has to sacrifice one for that.
Okay. So yeah, gaming's a big thing, and you're definitely listening to the market. And it's one thing I love about Philips, I love about you guys. You actually do listen to what the end user asks for and what's important to them on the TV. And with AV Forums, it's always been filmmaker mode, and it's great to see you still supporting filmmaker mode. And, you know, if we want accuracy from our images, we still get that with Philips TVs and so on. But I want to talk about Crystal Clear, because funnily enough, that came from an event or on the back of an event with AV Forums members. And it's an interesting solution to a problem, which AV Forums members said you should call Vivid Mode something different. You went that little bit further and you thought, well, I'll let you explain it, but you've gone for an image which is vivid but not vivid. Maybe explain that to our listeners.
Well, I call it it's a very balanced picture. That's exactly what filmmaker mode is, as the director intended. It's there. There's also the balance between contrast, sharpness, colors. And we, although we are lifting everything to a higher level in crystal clear mode or in the old vivid, we are keeping the balance between color, contrast, and brightness. I would almost, maybe I invented on the spot here, I would call it our crystal clear is a filmmaker mode for very bright environment. That is, so the whole balance stays. You with a bit of imagination, the director intent stays there, but everything is on a brighter level, which you might want to have in a very bright room, because as you mentioned, and also directors thinking that watching TV is in the very dark, but of course we're watching TV also during daylight.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess what I like about this and why I approve of it, even though I'm a stickler for standards and we should watch things as it intends, but what I really do like about this is that if you do any research with consumers, I know you guys do that all the time, and we've certainly done that as a website, try and find out what consumers are talking about and so on. 90% of people who buy a TV don't change the picture settings from default, very rarely go in and change any of the picture settings. So having your out of the box or your bright setting called Crystal Clear be that little bit more balanced, this is where it brings your demonstration in, because you did a demonstration with three TVs. You did it as a Samsung, an LG, and your TV. and your TV was in crystal clear, and the other two were in vivid or dynamic, whatever they call the brightest picture preset out of the box. And it was really quite interesting to see that even though crystal clear wasn't the director's intent, it was balanced in terms of the white balance wasn't D65, but it was still on the warm side. Colors were boosted, but they weren't over the top. Skin tones still looked like skin tones. And also your sharpening and other image processing that's going on, it wasn't intrusive in any way. It wasn't creating moiré problems or, you know, twittering sharp lines or anything like that. It was nice and clear and balanced. Yet when you looked at the competitor sets, everything was turned up to 11. Coming back to Abbey Road, everything was turned up to 11. And of course, you introduce problems there because skin tones don't look natural. You lose detail. The things are too bright. And again, this is something we try to get across to users. Yes, you can have a bright mode, but normally in a brighter mode, you will clip detail. The detail will disappear in the skies and so on. So with your crystal clear mode, you're going for a little bit more, but you're being balanced with it.
Correct. It is very tempting when you get a very bright panel because, you know, LG is using in their model, in that model I had in Abbey Road, they have exactly the same panel. They have also there the Meta panel version 2, which can do tons of light. And they are trying to use all of that light. But the counter side of it is that it is in many pictures, it's clipping. The colors that the panel can do are overdone. So yes, where you were having a very good panel there and good weapon, but we keep it balanced. So we could squeeze out as much light as LG. It's a deliberate choice to keep the balance in crystal clear, close to the filmmaker mode.
Excellent. Well, I think it's a good choice, Danny. And you know, when you see it demonstrated against the other panels, suddenly you're thinking it becomes clear as to what crystal clear mode is supposed to be. And again, I suppose we need to thank AV Forums members as well. We were at that event. I think it was at Dolby that we did that event, and they mentioned that to you there.
Correct. I was very happy with the feedback I got. And so basically, of course, every year we improve the tuning because of a combination of engine and new panel. But the name directly came as a hint from AV Forums members. Yeah. I was also happy that AV Forums members liked the balance that we are having in our crystal clear, our previous, our old Vivid Mode.
Yeah, and like you said, and like we've mentioned, you know, for that, those users who don't want to go in the menus and you know, mess around and so on, the light sensor, crystal clear mode, if they like that, that's going to be a solution for them there. So 8th gen P5 AI. So let's move over to the dual engine in the 959, because there are some differences there as well. Because you've got the dual chip, you've got more processing power at hand. You can do a few nice tweaks to what's already there. So maybe take us through some of those differences.
Yeah, well, the because of the more processing power, the extra chip we have there, and also the new dual engine chip being more powerful, we can do more calculation, we can do better AI. AI being, let's say, the buzzword, everybody's talking about AI, even outside TV, but inside TV, we are enhancing our AI system with, again, adding new categories to analyzing a picture. So new categories are now like sports, animation, and film, on top of the things we had like nature and faces and motion. So the more categories we have, then for those specific categories, the better PQ tuning we can do, again, real time. Which comes on top of gives you a nuance on your crystal clear mode. So more categories in our AI. And besides that, we also have inside the AI some detailed new things now, like the AI sports optimization, especially for football. Actually, if football is transmitted in the right way, you don't need to do anything, because football normally should be transmitted in 50, 60 frames, which is enough to have a fluent motion. But we see that many games, football games, are casted. And in casting, they many times only do it in 25 or 30 frames a second, which gives you judgment, like just like you have in fast motion in films, which is 24 pictures a second, you have judgment. So for that, you need to do motion estimation, motion compensation. Now, you know what the disadvantage of that is. It creates, it can, in some scenes, challenging scenes, it can have show some halos. Now, to avoid that, with the AI sports optimization, we detect how big the danger on halos is, and we then do a kind in between motion compensation to do less of, we reduce the judder, but just to the level that still the halos are not appearing there. So very special processing to cater for the best sports experience. So as fluent as it can be without the annoying halo artifacts. And the same we also have on color. We have an AI color optimization, meaning that for the 709 sources are mapping to white color gamut panels. Yes, we can boost the colors there the panel can do more than the source can do. But boosting the colors, there's a danger that all your skin tones will get tinted, and with the AI color optimization, we're able to boost the colors to the maximum capability of the panel, but we have still a very good skin tone detection and optimization there to keep them natural. There are two extra AI features on top of the more categories we are doing in our AI. So what I'm trying to say to the audience is, if you hear AI, be critical on that, because there's a lot of marketing talk on AI. We can show you through settings in the TV, you can switch on and off, that our AI really works.
One of the features that I always try and stay away from adding extra sharpness to images, but it's something that you're certainly doing with the with your machine learned sharpness. And it was clear in the still images that you were showing in your demonstration. There's a lady sitting at a table with a white covering over the table, a cloth tablecloth over the table, and there's a waiter there, and he's got a striped top on and so on. And basically it's a torture test scene for adding sharpness, because you should see artifacts because you're adding too much sharpness in. So how are you getting around that? Because you are adding in sharpness there, it does look sharper, but again, you're not getting the artifacts on the back of that that you would expect to see with too much sharpness in a scene.
Exactly. Like you mentioned, the guy has a friend, his cover he has on, which waiters usually have on, is with a striped pattern. If you would do sharpness all over the picture in the same way, you will probably start to see in those white stripes and his black cover, you would start to see overshoots and undershoots. You don't see that with us, because we are analyzing the picture, and zone by zone we are able to optimize the sharpness at the right level without creating artifacts, overshoots in the picture. So the things which are very fine, like also the lady sitting there, her face, her skin, the structure of that, don't make her more old, But we do show the right level of sharpness there, which is the detail in our face, the surface, it's complete, the texture is completely different than the white lines on the cover shirt of the guy. And that we are treating in a different way. So again, to keep, to have a sharp picture without any artifacts in the picture. That's what machine learned sharpness can do. Key word here is we can do sharpness improvement in on different levels locally. Local is the key word for our machine learned sharpness feature.
Of course, we're living in a world now where a lot of sources are low bitrate. We're watching a lot of streamed content and so on, and depending on who the provider is and what the package is that people are signed up to and so on, you can see vast differences in terms of source content coming into the TV. One of the big things is posterization, Danny. It's one of these things that seems to be in a lot of images where bit rate's being sacrificed and so on. So how are you getting around the issue of posterization, of gradation issues and so on within low bit rate content and other poor sources?
Well, we have solutions in both our TVs, the 909, also 809. We have already a version of smart bit enhancement there. Of course, the ultimate you get from a dual engine, because we have more processing power there. We use more line memories to take the picture inside memory to do processing with it and to bring it back on screen without posterization, but optimizing that effect, so reducing posterization and not losing too much sharpness. For that, you need a lot of processing power, which you have inside the dual engine, because it's easy there's an easy way of solving posterization. It's blurring, it's to make the picture completely unsharp, and then you get rid of your posterization, but probably if there is anything in the posterization, mainly visible in the background, but then in the front, if there would be a guy there with a very structured clothing on, you would lose also the sharpness in there. So blurring is not the right way. Smart bit enhancement processing is the right way, but that needs a lot of processing power to try to find the balance between reducing posterization and keeping sharpness.
Yeah, lots of great tech this year from your processors, both processors. And I believe these are built on the Pentonic line of chips, so the new chipsets that have been around for a couple of years now. How difficult has that been in terms of your workflow, Danny? Because last year we only had the single chip, so it's taken you a little while to bring the dual chip into the 959. So what's that been like, you know, getting your processing onto the new chipset and so on?
Well, we had, of course, last year we did not, but the year before we had our dual engine with smart bit enhancement version 1. Basically, that was with using more processing power than you can afford in a single chip. But learning what happened there, we were able to put some versions, some very close to the dual engine version of 2 years back, inside the 909. And of course, with having more processing power and knowing what the problems are in the source, with the new dual engine, we were able to improve then in our dual engine part, our smart bit enhancement. So as you mentioned, Pentonic is always the basis. In the 909, there's only that Pentonic, but with the software, there's always special software inside there, unique for Philips, which we learned from our dual engine, which we then together in a partnership with the supplier are getting into the single chip. And we are always working on the new version, which is now available in 959, with more processing power to do that in our own chip.
Excellent. So that's the two models coming to market. We're going to talk about a few more features in a second. But just for people who are interested in the TVs, 909 screen sizes availability, what are we looking at?
Let me see. cheat. I had it. 909 is available in 55, 65, and 77. And as you mentioned, pointed out already, 959, which is our really flagship model, not huge quantities, and that's why we make it only available in one affordable screen size, 65 inch.
So I think you've hinted at the reason there, but one of the questions is going to be why 959 is only available in 65.
But because, yeah, you could say, what is 959? It's best picture quality meets best sound. It's also gorgeous design, but that all comes to a certain expense. So it is our top flagship TV, quite expensive. We do realize we're not going to make big quantities of that. Maybe you could consider, because it is already expensive, but it would be way more expensive to do a 77. But for the time being, we're touching the waters with this one in 65 inch only. One below, 909, very good picture quality, because we mentioned already the best panel, smallest panel you can have in the market, together with a P5 AI engine, which is also quite innovative. That one is still more affordable. It also has the Bauer-Wilkins sound, but is more affordable than 959. And there we want to give the choice to the consumer to do it in different screen sizes, because many times we, if you stay too high or too big in screen sizes, people feel them left in the cold on smaller screen sizes. So this is where we do both 55, so smaller, and we do 77.
Excellent. Right, so new Ambilight. This is fantastic. I love it. I always say you should go for bias light, and that's the way, if I'm going to critically watch a film or and I want to see it as a direct intended, I'm going to watch in a dim surroundings, 5 nits behind the TV, as Simty says, as a bias light. Philips TVs do that. We've got Ambilight. You can go in, you can make it as bright or as dark, D65, you can actually measure it and change it and make sure it's absolutely bang on. So if you're a purist, you can do all that, and I love that. I also quite like follow video. I also like quite the follow music. I don't watch it all the time like that, but it is very, very interesting on this new TV, the new Ambilight on the 959. You've managed to really push the technology by using the lenses. And I think the best way to explain it is movement. If there's an object moving, the Ambilight moves with that object. And the way you've managed to do that with the lenses, maybe explain that to people, how you're able to do that. And what gave you the idea for that as well? Because you used to use Pico projectors, which was really, really expensive. But you're almost getting the same kind of effect with adding the movement in. So maybe explain that.
Yeah, well, you're right. Actually, our journey on Ambilight, so we started off with bias light, but then of course we right away jumped into that the colors on the picture will also be visible on the screen. So we had various levels of Ambilight there. And then we got into the projector Ambilight flagship product again, with 8 projectors, hugely expensive, because our ambition has been always to create outside the screen the same in Ambilight as you see on the screen, so that the screen is enlarged and as accurate as possible. That was liked on this Pico projector execution. But some people also said that it was too detailed. Well, that was a good thing. The other thing that they also said was that it was quite expensive, of course. So what we did with Ambilight Plus, we're actually we were trying to get the same effect as with the projectors, but a little bit less and detailed, because then it becomes less distracting. But we do it with 4 mini lenses, instead of projectors now. And thanks to the four lenses, we can do different zones. As you pointed out, there's movement in the picture. You also see the movement in the ambilight because of the different zones we are addressing. We are really creating a two-dimensional kind of ambilight without just taking too much attention away from what goes inside the screen.
Yeah, it's a neat trick. And I think what you were saying with ambilight, and it's something I hadn't considered until Dieter was explaining it in the session that we did with him talking about ambilight. Like you were saying, it was too detailed behind. You were trying to focus on the TV and the image that was behind the TV. With this new system, it's peripheral. It's on your peripheral. So it expands the image out without you taking your eye off the screen, basically, and you're still engaged on what's happening with the screen. You just add this extra immersion. And I think with the movement, certainly what I took away from the demo, and I can't wait to get 959 in and actually live with one for a while and see what the effect's like, it's that movement that adds that extra dimension, I think, to normal ambilight that we're used to.
Also, we are doing it less detailed than the projector stuff to not distract people too much. Still, there are different ambilight modes in there, like one that really is dynamic, one that is a bit more relaxed. So there is all kind of choices you can make to your tailored needs to make sure that you are enjoying ambilight behind the screen rather than getting distracted.
I need to ask this question because my members expect me to ask the question, but why is it only on three sides and not four sides on the 959?
Because of cost.
Okay.
Because of cost, and also looking at the design of the 959, there is a speaker bar underneath, which is having some extra space between screen and then where ambilight could sit. That so when a more symmetrical, so without a speaker bar, four sides would make more sense.
Okay. Thank you very much for answering that one. You mentioned the speaker bar. So Bowers & Wilkins is on both of these sets, 909 and 959. But on the 959, you've really gone to town with the sound system because it's actually affected the thickness of the panel. Now, because all the way around the panel, there is this thickness, but that's still out for the drivers. That's still out for basically physics to work. More air can be moved, more air you can move, the better it's going to sound. So some people might call you up on the design, but I guess you've gone for audio performance over somebody looking at the set from the side. You should be looking at the set directly on, really.
Exactly. And then you don't see the thickness, but as you point out, you need that thickness to put good speakers in there. You need thickness to make good sound. So what we have is we have in the bottom bar, we have there each time the left and right tweeters with inside the speaker for good speech. And then you have all around left, top, four times left and right drivers again. And you have in the back of the back cover, you have
subwoofer. Yeah, the bass subwoofer. Yeah, it's a cracking system. We actually held it on the day. I thought it sounded really good. 909, 959. What's your expectations for these sets? Who are you building these TVs for, and what do you expect the consumer to think of them when they get them?
As the 959, you don't need to think about anything. It's a combination of best picture, best sound, as already mentioned. Of course, it comes at a certain price. If you're more into actually still 909 is almost the best picture because best panel with our P5 engine, with then just one level down in sound from Bower and Wilkins. That should be a bit driving a bit more volume, and still for those people that do not have sound bars. And then below that, you have the 809, which is slightly less panel, not a meta panel, but an AX version of OLED with the same engine as 909, and where sound is already very decent, but this is where you then could say, okay, if I have a sound bar, I hook it up to that one, and I have probably just a bit better sound than 909 with the same picture.
Excellent. Well, there you go, folks. That's the OLED Plus TVs for 2024. We are definitely going to get them in and have a good look at them. The 909 arrived this morning, just as we're recording this podcast. So OLED Plus 909 will be going through my test over the next couple of weeks. So stick around for that review. That review coming soon. And I can't wait to get my hands on a 959, Danny. From what I've seen of it so far, it looks great. So looking forward to getting that in and testing it fully in the next few weeks. But as always, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. It really is appreciated.
It was my pleasure, Phil.
And before we go, just quickly, we need to do a competitions and supporter. So very quickly, hardware competitions open. You can win a Hisense 65-inch U7N mini LED TV and a soundbar with that. It's perfect duo. That is worth £1,298. It's on avforums.com/competitions. You can also win £500 to spend with MPB, the largest global platform to buy, sell and trade in used photo and video gear. That one closes 11:59 p.m. on Thursday the 24th of October. And if you're very quick, you can win an LG Cinebeam Q projector worth £1,000. That closes 11:59 on Tuesday the 15th of October. You need to be very quick on that one, as this goes out on the 14th. You may have already missed that one. All competitions open to eligible AV Forums members over the age of 18 who are residents of the UK. Head over, like I say, avforums.com/competitions. There are also lots of discs there, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K for our patrons and standard AV Forums members. Lots of things to win. Previous winners, JJ Bomber won a single Osmo Home Cinema seat in black worth £1,399. Well done to you. Red Devil 69 won £500 to spend at MPB. Well done, both of you competition winners. New patrons, Vutron and Pulp FXN. Hopefully I've said those correctly. Those are new patrons. Thank you very much for your support, guys. And bought us a coffee, Repo Man 666. He bought us a coffee. Thank you very much for that. We really do appreciate all of your support. And one day we will produce a really good podcast. I promise, one day. Our next episode of the podcast is the Home AV Edition. It's on Monday, the 21st of October. Don't forget, you can find that on the AV Forums YouTube channel. It's published at 7 p.m. on a Monday. That's every Monday in the month, apart from Mondays with five, or months with five Mondays, four Mondays in a month. You got one every Monday. Anyway, that's it. Thanks very much for watching. I'm Phil Hinton. We'll see you again very soon. Goodbye.